Hey guys, thanks for joining us at i80 Sports. Today we are talking about those players you want to buy, those players you want to sell, those players you want to hold. Thank you for joining us today at i80 Sports. All right, let's get going. Actually, you like the new hat? I picked up a Brooklyn Dodgers hat. It was my grandmother's family's old team. Nice. They're in the World Series. So, you know, going to represent, even though I know everyone hates LA nowadays. It is what it is. But,
It's not Houston.
Holds. Let's jump right into it. Steve, right, you got to buy for us.
Yeah. I'm going to start with one of the rookies that I've really, really liked. In my main dynasty draft, I actually traded my next year's first round pick to move back into the first round and get this guy, T. Higgins, the wide receiver from Cincinnati Bengals. He has had a consistent role as of late. I'm just pulling up some numbers here on T. Higgins. And just this past week, he had his first 100-yard game because he had six catches for 125 yards on eight targets. And just in general, he's just been getting a lot of targets. And like another good game that he had, week three against Philadelphia, he had five receptions, two receiving touchdowns, but only 40 yards, but he still got those two touchdowns. This kid has been a baller. I know that AJ Green has
stunk.
He has stunk, and he had a good week six. We'll give him that. But I really like this kid, T. Higgins. I love Tyler Boyd. Like, you and I were both high on
Tyler Boyd. Is the slot. And there's room for both of them to be successful.
Exactly.
They got a rookie quarterback, so not only is the player going to improve, the offense is going to improve, the quarterback play is going to improve.
Exactly.
T. Higgins is your buy candidate.
And just to give you an idea of some of the matchups, Cleveland, that's going to be a good matchup. Tennessee will be a little bit tougher. Pittsburgh will be a little bit tougher. But then you've got Washington, New York, Miami, and Dallas, but leading you into the fantasy playoffs. And then you have week 15 against Pittsburgh. But then the fantasy championship is week 16 against Houston. So, you know, T. Higgins can help you win leagues.
Absolutely. I know I have him in one of mine and started him this week to good success. My first buy candidate is a tight end on a team that has had an incumbent tight end for many years. That is Dallas Goedert from the Philadelphia Eagles. So everyone, welcome to 2020, where Zach Ertz can't play football. 7.4 receptions is a career low by like 6 yards per reception. Absolutely playing terrible. And he sprained his ankle. He's going to be out for at least 2 weeks. High ankle sprains, we don't have a time frame on those. It could be anywhere in any ballpark. So
Zach Ertz is going to short-term IR or something like that. I thought I read something
could be.
About
I'm not interested in that right now. I'm interested in talking about Dallas Goedert. Because he's the guy you want to own on this team anyway. Returns from the IR this week, along with Jalen Reagor. So two big passing threats added to this Philadelphia team. He's had 8.5 targets a game when he's been fully active this season. He had 58 catches, 607, and 5 touchdowns in 2019, including a 5-game stretch, averaging 8.2 targets, 5.4 receptions, 64 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 0.2 touchdowns. Towards the end of the season, he also had that 7-for-73 playoff game, in the only game Philadelphia played last year. He's the future for the Eagles. Absolutely, Zach Ertz is fading. Zach Ertz will not get a new contract. Dallas Goedert is the player to own in Philadelphia. He's absolutely the tight end of the future. If you don't own him, go get him.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I'm also, I guess, I'm kind of selling on Zach Ertz too. I guess kind of simultaneously. I don't know who's buying.
Zach Ertz is done. I think even when he comes back healthy, I think he's going to be the tight end too for this team. Yeah, he had his chance to show his value to the Eagles because he wanted that new deal, and he hasn't shown anything to say, we should sign this guy to a new deal.
Dallas Goedert is younger. He's on the right side of 30, and he's going to take this team and my fantasy team to the championship land. I was looking for a good term to use there, and I lost it. Give me a sell candidate, Steve.
Which one should I go with first? I'm gonna go with a running back who I was high on. Who I was hoping that I could have stolen late in dynasty drafts. It's another rookie, Antonio Gibson of the Washington football team. You know, when Ron Rivera drafted Antonio Gibson, he said that he's the next run CMC, the next Christian McCaffrey, and he's flashed.
I mean, that's just a ridiculous statement.
Yeah, yeah, but he's flashed, but he's not really been effective. And you know, the thing is with JD McKissick there, this is really just a running back by committee. Antonio, at this point, I would sell on him. I would see what I could get for him. Maybe, you know, if you're in a standard league, maybe the name value itself could carry a nice trade just to try to give
the
you
the name
some
value on Antonio Gibson. Is I'm going to join you right there in the sell candidate on Antonio Gibson and add another rookie running back in James Robinson from Jacksonville. People wanted to avoid Fournette all year, all preseason. All I kept hearing, avoid Fournette, the Jaguars stink. Avoid Fournette, the Jaguars stink. Then Fournette leaves and everyone wants to buy on James Robinson because he's going to replace Fournette in an offense that no one thought was going to go anywhere. And guess what? He had a couple good games. And guess what? It's time to get him off your roster. It is time. He had a couple bad games in a row. The touches will still be there. Get 15, 20 touches a week, which could be attractive for a lower standings team who just needs to get starters on their roster. However, it's averaging 38.5 rushing and 23 receiving over the last 2 weeks. Honeymoon period is over for James Robinson. He was a great waiver wire. You spent some fab on him to get him on your team. Now, guess what? Get him off your team, unload, get some new pieces. James Robinson is going to join Antonio Gibson on the rookie running backs to sell.
Yeah, because I'm pulling up his games right now. He has the Chargers. That's not going to be a good game. Then they have the bye. Now they do. James Robinson does get a good matchup against the Texans in week 9, but then week 10, 11, and 12, it's Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland.
It's going to be someone else's problem. That's great.
the next time that he'll have a good matchup is week 13 against the Vikings right before the fantasy playoffs. But then week 14 and week 15 and 16, it's Titans, Baltimore, and Chicago, all good run defenses. No, yeah, you're right. Sell on him.
Okay, now let's go to a hold. Hold is kind of a tricky one. To hold is maybe someone we're not optimistic enough to buy, but not down enough to sell. I like to think of a hold player like this. Someone maybe you spent too much money or too much draft capital on, and you just kind of have, you can't sell them at their lowest. You got to take them at face value. And for me, that is absolutely the way I see Joe Mixon from the Bengals, someone I loved going into the season. He's getting over 23 touches a game. He has 3 touchdowns through 6, but he has not been the running back one you wanted him at the beginning of the season. However, moving on, they play Washington, Giants, Jets, and Cowboys to start the second half after a bye week. He will be playing better. Joe Burrow's going to be playing better and getting this team into better situations. And for me, it's just about, you spend a first round pick. Why sell low? If you sell Joe Mixon, you are getting him at his absolute lowest value. At least wait for him to go off a game and say, hey, here's someone you want. You're not selling at a discount. You don't want to get rid of a first round pick for nothing. And what is Joe Mixon really going to get you? A wide receiver 2 right now? That's not enough value for me. So hold on to Joe Mixon. He will do better in the second half of the season. If you want to unload him, that's on you, but I'm holding.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And speaking of just, you know, what you were going off of, my hold candidate is somebody that I have no investment in, but you know, for other people who do have an investment in him, I would recommend holding Odell Beckham Jr. because on the dock, it said the next 3 matchups. I actually looked at his next few matchups, and next week, week 7, he has the Bengals. He's going to ball out. Then he has the Raiders. Raiders don't have the best pass defense, so he's going to do well. Houston, we've been ragging on Houston. Philadelphia, what have they shown to stop the pass? Nothing. Jacksonville, Tennessee will probably be the tough one. But then week 14, you know, he has a tough matchup at the beginning of the fantasy playoffs with the Ravens. But then week 15 and 16, your 2 big fantasy championships. He has the Giants and Jets back to back.
You signed. You talked me into it. A revenge game and a homeward bound game. I don't recall that.
Yeah.
The Darby matchup. I love it.
Both in New York, by the way, against the Jets and Giants.
A place he knows very well. Stadium he's played at many times. Okay, let's move on. Let's do, I guess, we're on to second round of live, correct? Of bye. Sorry.
Of bye.
Second round of bye.
You want me to go first?
Let me see what your candidate is. I want to see if I want to talk about this guy. Yeah, because we're both taking running backs from the same team.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
So who has been my guy all off season?
Rojo.
Yeah. And guess what? I have to take him as a bye candidate. You want to know why? Because he has, in the opportunities that he has had over the last 3 weeks against the Chargers, he ran for 111 yards. 6 receptions for 17, not terrible. I mean, the yards could have been better for the receptions. Then week 5 against the Bears, he had 106 rushing yards against a very good Chicago rush defense. And again, 3 receptions. He's not the best pass catcher, but we talked about it in the offseason that he has had a chance to improve his pass catching, and he's catching the ball better. And then week 6 against the Green Bay defense that a lot of people have been saying is not terrible, in the secondary, he ran for 113 yards and he rushed for 2 touchdowns. Ronald Jones in the last 3 weeks has been nothing but a baller because he has had nobody looking behind his shoulder. And Leonard Fournette, he could have gone. The expectation was for him to play against the Packers and they didn't suit him up.
I'm not looking deep into that at all. Exactly what you said. The reason he's been a baller is because he's had no one over his shoulder. Leonard Fournette has not been there. That's the reason why.
But look at the matchups that are coming up. Vegas, not the best rush defense. The Giants, not the best rush defense. New Orleans, giving up tons of points to the running back. And then you got Carolina. Okay, that's a decent matchup for Rojo. But then then it starts getting tough week 11 and 12 before the week 13 bye. So I am buying Rojo.
I don't like that for the same damn reason. You just said how great that run or how great his schedule is. Yeah, it's going to be a great schedule for the lead back in Tampa Bay, Leonard Fournette.
Which is Rojo.
Leonard Fournette's first game as a starter, 12 rushes, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 for 13 receiving. He missed 2 games with injury, but Ronald Jones, he played well. He was a good replacement. The team knows who he is. The team drafted him. The team has started him for 2 years. And then they said, we need Leonard Fournette. So that tells you enough. Don't look at what the player does for your fantasy team. Follow the money, Steve.
I've also been following what Bruce Arians and Jason Light have been saying all offseason. Rojo is our starter. Rojo has the opportunity. And
the absolute first time they had to go against what they told you, they pulled the trigger and gave the start to Leonard Fournette.
They never gave the start. Rojo has been the starter every game.
Okay. Just because he's down on first. I mean, Gio Bernard is out on first down over Joe Mixon. You're going to call him the starter? No, you're not. It's Leonard Fournette's team. I'm going to go get some Leonard Fournette and we're going to pull off a trade.
Want a water bet? Do you want to water bet?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Without a doubt in my mind.
Okay. But so at the end of the season, and we'll start it from, this is week, we're on week 6 now, right?
Sure.
We're on week 7. Sorry. We're on week 7. So whoever has the most fantasy points between these two for the rest of the season wins. And the loser has to get splashed with cold water in the face.
Sounds good. I'm in.
All right.
I'm in. Wait, so it's yardage or fantasy points?
Both.
That's not an answer. Half point PPR fantasy points.
Okay, fantasy points. Whoever has the most between averaged over all 3 formats.
You're on. Now let's move on to some sells. My first sell is one of those guys. Now I like signing into fantasy football and seeing big names dropped because I know someone's going to go and spend their fab. You're going to clear some fab off the board, and probably not for someone. That's very useful. I saw Ertz was dropped in my home league. It was maybe a questionable call, but not a crazy call. You need a tight end. You're strapped for roster space during bye weeks. You got to cut. And hey, if the player's not performing, you got to cut him. Now, I put him as a sell, but you're not going to get anything for this player. It's T.Y. Hilton, and you're going to have to drop him off your fantasy team very, very soon. From 2013 to 2018, he averaged 131 targets, 76 receptions, 1,206 yards. But you are not getting that T.Y. Hilton, so don't spend on that T.Y. Hilton. He had 15.8 yards per reception and about 77 yards per game. Injury and age is catching up. He's 31 years old. Three seasons removed from his last 16-game campaign. Also, his quarterback, his man, hasn't been there for 2 years. That was Andrew Luck, his fantasy BFF. Since Luck retired, T.Y. Hilton's down to 11.4 yards per reception and just 3.25 targets per game.
He came into the season wanting that big contract, and he's done nothing to prove it.
Zero touchdowns through six games, only 40 yards per game on average. For me, he is almost droppable. And when I drop him and see someone drop $40 in fab to pick him up, I want to play that guy next week because I want T.Y. Hilton on your roster. I want T.Y. Hilton 3.4 receptions on your team for 40 yards and zero touchdowns. That's exactly what I want. T.Y. Hilton, you can't sell him because his value should be too low. He's almost droppable to me in most format.
I would drop him.
Me and T.Y. Hilton have won some fantasy championships together. Some golden years between me and T.Y. We go way back.
Yeah.
Or we're breaking up T.Y.
Well, Steve, I hate doing this because this is one of my favorite players in the entire league. And it's not an I-80 sports show without me talking about my Steelers. And so
you got the terrible towel behind you with some messy bookshelves and stuff going on. I got a nice little fisheye lens going on. I don't know what that's about, but it is what it is.
So in memoriam, I must say sell on Juju Smith-Schuster. Let us take a moment of silence to commemorate this. Because last week I had said that there was... You're not making this any better, Bob.
That's a fantasy revelation.
last week, I had said that there was a 75% chance that the Steelers would re-sign Juju. Chase Claypool has just balled out. And, you know, Juju is averaging over the last couple of games like 2 to 3 receptions a game. You know, he's not broken the 50-yard reception yet. Now, this does come with a caveat. I'm saying sell him in your normal formats, like your standard PPR, half PPR. But in Dynasty and Redraft, hold him. Because we've got to remember, Juju Smith-Schuster is a lot younger than most of the rookie wide receivers that came out this year. And he's going to go to a second team. And this kid is talented. So hold him for Dynasty and Redraft purposes. But sell him others. See what you can get for him. He's gonna give you receptions and yards towards the end of the season because you know as the offense picks up, he's a very unselfish person. He's not Martavis Bryant. He's not Antonio Brown. He's not gonna cause drama. So he's gonna get playing time. And with playing time, there always comes opportunity. But you know, for anything else, just sell him and see what you can get.
If you had to pick a team right now,
oh boy,
I have one in mind that's like flashing. We need a star.
I would say the Texans would probably.
Yeah, you got me.
Oh, wow. That's
exactly where I was going with it. That's exactly where I was going. Bill O'Brien, you can't trade him away.
Well, Bill O'Brien's gone. So, yeah.
That's why he can't trade him away. Exactly. Welcome to that one. Good.
I just want to say this last thing. I'm sorry. Juju does have the potential of like a DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm not speaking in hyperbole when I'm saying this. The kid has balled out. The kid balled out in his first two seasons. And then, you know, last season was injury and bad quarterback play. And this season, it's just that the Steelers are so deep at wide receiver that, you know, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, Juju is the odd man out right now.
Absolutely. And maybe it's because of play. Maybe it's because of opportunity. Maybe there's just been too many changes around him. He did play better with Antonio Brown there, which would kind of make me think of a team maybe that has an A1 receiver that could hold him. Maybe he goes on to play with the Jets. That seems to be the retirement home for Steelers.
Receivers. God. No, but Juju's going to be 23 or 24.
He is 24. He's going to be 25 by the start of next season. But that's young. He's got four prime years left, and there are plenty of teams that'll overpay for an old receiver, even on his second or third contract down the line. Mm-hmm. Hold. One more hold. I got a hold for you. And this is actually like a hold because I might not be aggressive enough to buy. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those handcuff situations. At this point in the fantasy year, Steve, hopefully my teams are usually too deep. I need to trade for stars. And before the playoffs in that last final week, I'm getting stars and I'm getting handcuffs.
Yeah.
There's one handcuff in the NFL who will put up better numbers than the starter on their team. And that is Chase Edmonds, running back from the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they got rid of Dave Johnson because they were happy with what they had in the backfield, which was Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. They've been with the team for a couple of years now. Kenyon Drake in 2020, we know what he is. He's a known commodity. He's going to get touches. He's going to get volume. 18 carries, 70 yards. That's a very Kenyon Drake football line, right? Maybe you can get lucky, falls into the end zone. He is nothing more and nothing less than that. But nothing's going to change Kenyon Drake's role on his team. He's going to be 18 carries, 70 yards, ad infinitum. That's what he does. However, if he goes down, Chase Edmonds is not only going to get Chase Edmonds' work, he's also going to get Kenyon Drake's work. And I think in that case, you solidify two running back positions into one. Chase Edmonds, as a fantasy asset, will be better than Kenyon Drake if Kenyon Drake gets hurt. And I think that that's one of the unique handcuff situations where we can say that. Usually, like if Zeke goes down, minus last night where he just dropped the ball, if Zeke goes down, Pollard's a step down.
He is.
Maybe 85%, maybe even 90%, but he's a step down. This is the only situation that I see, and I'm like, the handcuff is better. And if the Browns are solidified, condensed down to one player, I want Chase Edmonds on my team everywhere I can. I'm going to hold him. Don't, mistakenly drop him because you need some bench space during a bye week. Mm-hmm. Hold on to him. Get him on your team. And Chase Edmonds is my...
But he's had consistent fantasy production. Their situation in Arizona is just like the situation in Cleveland, where both running backs are thriving in specific roles. So, he's a hold candidate. I would even put Chase Edmonds as a buy candidate, if I'm being honest.
He's going to be there for me, but again, the yardage is... suspect. He's going to be like 40 to 50 yards. Maybe he falls into the end zone. He's done that a couple times. He does return kicks,
but he has receptions. Receptions is where he's been getting his work because
three, two, five, five, one. He's borderline, but you can take his carries and his receptions and add Kenny.
He'll be a top 15 back for the rest of the season if Kenyon Drake goes down.
So that's absolutely why I'm holding him there, just because of the, and it's so strange that it's like the only situation. Nothing can make Kenyon Drake better than what he is right now, but a lot can make Chase Edmonds better. So that's my hold candidate. Just something we throw in the show. Steve, you got one more.
I'm going with another rookie because I just love me some rookies. And I'm going with DeAndre Swift of the Detroit Lions, the running back. He's had a string of great games. I made the case to you last week when I was trying to give you a trade offer. He's only had one bad game. Week one he put up 9.8. This is half PPR. 9.8, 9.7 week two. His only real dud was week three against Arizona with 2.4,
but zero rushes in that game.
Yeah, and then week four against New Orleans, that's where he put up 13.2. And then last week against Jacksonville, he balled out for 25.8. And I just want to read off his schedule for the next.
Oh, I see it for you. Can we just go before you go on the schedule? I love what the Jacksonville, what Detroit's doing. They're kind of been known as kind of a trash organization. Kerryon Johnson did not work out. They've been looking for a running back for 25 years now. This game against Jacksonville was kind of a show. They were saying, hey, here's the future of our franchise. Let's put him out there and show the world what he can do against a trash defense. And 14 carries, 116 yards, two touchdowns. That's exactly what they wanted out of their guy. So I think that when they saw the schedule, they're like, this is the game he's coming out. And I think moving forward, you can explain to us how soft.
Yeah, because Atlanta Falcons next week. Oh my goodness, give me all of that. Indianapolis, that'll be a little bit tough, but week nine, Minnesota, then week 10, the Washington football team. Week 11, a little bit more of a tough matchup with the Panthers, but then week 12, is the Houston Texans. 13, I would sit him. Week 13, I would sit him against the Chicago Bears. And I would, but then week 14 and 15, and week 14 and 15, I would suit him up against the Packers and the Titans. Week 16 is my for the fantasy championships. That's my concern with Tampa Bay, because hey, guess what? I was right that Aaron Jones should not have been playing this week, and that he did not have good fantasy day.
They ran the ball, just not with him.
Yeah, he was ineffective. So yeah, the Buccaneers week 16 for the fantasy championship, I would sit him.
We're gonna see, but you got 3 weeks. So if you get 3 weeks of production out of him, you could just flip him, and we could do another episode on start to tell.
Yeah, but he has a pretty good match. He has a pretty good line of matchups where he could easily be a top 10 running back.
Absolutely. So guys, buy, sell, hold. This has been a production of ID Sports. Steve, thanks for joining us tonight, guys. Have a great night.